I fully understand, Shannon, that this is a program that appears across the country and, in fact, around the world. But we are sitting in Toronto, and so we tend to be a little Toronto-centric. And if
you do.
Well, okay. I think it was a pretty good weekend all along, and a pretty good last little while. The Toronto Blue Jays have swept the Atlantas on the weekend, scored 26 runs in three games, and the offense seems to have come to life. The Toronto Maple Leafs have won, what, five, six in a row?
Mm-hmm. They're playing very well. Very well.
Seemingly secured first place in the Northern Division. And the Toronto Raptors, who we're going to discuss today, and I'm quite convinced now are inevitably going to miss the playoffs, did come up with a victory over the LA Kings. The LA Lakers.
Lakers.
And
Bob, you're too hockey-centric. I hate it when you're this hockey-centric.
I know. This happens.
Awful.
This happens from spending so much time with you. nonetheless, I don't know what that victory means, but we'll talk about it. It
means nothing.
It really means nothing.
I was watching the highlights again this morning on NBA.com, and really, the whole storyline of the league's perspective of that game had nothing to do with the Raptors.
Well, of course it wouldn't.
It had everything to do with
our complete afterthought, and justifiably so.
Lakers lead, Lakers lead, Lakers lose the lead, Lakers lead, Lakers lose the lead. LeBron gets hurt, Lakers lose. Oh, yeah. They played the Toronto Raptors.
Well, it raises the question in terms of the Lakers, and we'll get into this with Devlin a little bit. Are they snoozing and just gliding through the regular season with the intent to ramp it up when playoff time comes?
They haven't been very healthy, Bob.
Well, you know, I get that, but even Anthony when they're
Davis
healthy.
And LeBron, they haven't. And by the way, who really is that third leg of the stool that's supposed to get them over the hump?
Well, I mean,
who's supposed to be that guy for the Lakers?
I don't know. And I'm not sure you need a third leg for that stool. I think the two legs they have are good enough. They demonstrated that they demonstrated that last year. They were good enough. Yeah. And I mean, there are other teams that are good, and certainly Brooklyn is among them if they are healthy and their three guys play nice in the sandbox.
But Milwaukee beat them yesterday.
And you can't discount Milwaukee. Milwaukee has plenty of pieces beyond, you know, Antetokounmpo.
And who's the bet? And who's the number one team in the East?
Well, Philadelphia.
Right. So all of a sudden.
But do you really think Philadelphia is?
No, I think we're going to see typical 76ers basketball.
Come playoff time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where they'll fold like a cheap suit. They'll find a way to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not discounting Utah, and I can't discount Phoenix, although Phoenix has no playoff experience other than their point guard.
Well, I'll tell you, the West in the NBA is nuts.
It's going to be a war.
It is nuts. And I'm not sure how you define. I'd like someone from one of these teams to come on and tell us how they're going to define success if they don't win the championship, because you could be one of the best teams and lose in the first round.
Yeah. The Toronto Maple Leafs, I think, have the fourth best record in the NHL. Fourth, fifth, something like
maybe
that.
Maybe fifth. I would have said Vegas, Carolina, Tampa, and Florida at least are ahead of them. I'm not sure anybody else is. I can't remember. It's hard to pay attention to the other three divisions when you've been talking about the original seven all year.
Well, yeah, thank you. How do you quantify the success that the Toronto Maple Leafs have had? I mean, I think we are now at the point where Maple Leaf fans are seriously wondering, all right, this race is over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've won the Northern Division, the Canadian Division, whatever the hell it's called.
Original seven.
And that's a foregone conclusion. They're probably going to wind up playing Montreal, although who knows?
Could be Winnipeg.
Could be Winnipeg, the way they're playing, in the first round. That's inconsequential. Even the second round, while it will be significantly more difficult, the Maple Leafs will be favored in that confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get to the Final Four. And now you bring in all these other teams. And where do the Toronto Maple Leafs stack against any of the others? And is points a reflection of any of that?
No.
Given you're not playing anybody outside your own
division? They can't be. They can't be now. The points are, when you get to the third round, points are moot. Moot. I don't think they mean a darn thing. I'm not sure they mean a thing once we get to the playoffs, Bob. You know,
well, do they mean less given the circumstances of who you're playing rather than
no, a normal year? I don't know. I mean, I don't think we, well, I would say no, because there's no apples to apples comparison of, you know, the Toronto Maple Leafs played Tampa well, they played Boston well, they played Vegas well. There's no comparison. So it doesn't really matter. And by the way, there is no guarantee that the Toronto Maple Leafs get out of the second round. I mean, that team that they play in the second round, you know, whether
I'll give you that. All I said was they will be favored in the second round.
Yeah, but there's no guarantee, you know, and not to repeat the conversation we had on Friday, but it will all go to goaltending in this whole, in particularly in the Canadian division, it will all go to goaltending.
Well, that's the way the game is played these days.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, by the way, on our conversation on Friday about goaltending and rating the top 10 goaltenders of all time, you know, we forgot one guy. And I'm sure
we forgot more than one.
No, but we really got castigated. We forgot one guy. We forgot Dominik Hasek. And one of the greatest goaltenders of regular season hockey of all time.
Can't argue.
Won a gold medal at the Olympics in Nagano, single-handedly stole it from every other team in Japan in 1998. Did not win the Stanley Cup until he got to Detroit in 2002. So for all those Dominik Hasek fans, get off my lawn. We mentioned his name now.
Well, I find it interesting that you said we got castigated, I believe was the word you used.
Yes.
I didn't get a single text, email, or Twitter tweet regarding any of that.
Yeah, but you were probably out in the backyard or something.
Well, I wasn't out in the backyard. I look, and I didn't. Mm-hmm. Nobody mentioned him. So, and I, in our defense, let me point this out.
We did 12 seconds of research, Bob.
Well, I was going to say we didn't do 12 seconds of research. It was flying off the top of our heads. The list of goaltenders. It was not like we prepared anything. As and usually for, is the case.
And for all of those people that were lobbying for Harry Lumley, no. Although he was a pretty good goalie.
He may very well have been slightly before my time. I don't know about yours. And I don't doubt, I'm surprised. You know what I'm surprised at? That we only missed one.
We probably missed more. But we, like, there are guys there that have won cups that were great goaltenders, clutch goalies that, you know, like Jerry Cheevers, we didn't talk about. But Jerry Cheevers was a good goalie, boy. Anyway, I just wanted to mention Dominik Hasek so they can stop bugging me.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody else would we? I wouldn't put Gump Worsley in that group, would you?
The thing with Worsley is he played with such great teams that in Montreal, and then and when he really played his best goaltending when he was with the expansion team in Minnesota. Minnesota was the first expansion team to win a playoff game against an original or an existing six teams. Yeah. And Gump was the goaltender of record. So Gump was they beat Montreal. They lost the series 4-2, but they beat Montreal in the playoffs.
Now St. Louis was the first expansion team.
Right. But that was Scotty's team. But Scotty's team never won a playoff game against.
They got swept.
They played Montreal 4 games, Montreal 4 games, Boston 4 games.
They got swept all three times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, not shocking. But and not interesting really either, but nonetheless it's
well no, you're such a you're a hockey guy, you know.
So. Yeah. Well, we haven't talked much about the Toronto Blue Jays, but we'll do that in maybe at the end of the program.
Sure.
Because it's worth discussing whether this team has found itself, at least offensively, and can they continue to find themselves as injuries continue to pop up. We'll do all that. Matt Devlin will join us. Some hoops discussion today on the program. Back after these. McCowan and Shannon with you on the program today. I was concerned that we were waking Devlin up too early, given it's they played in LA last night and completely blanked on the fact that Matt doesn't go anywhere.
I haven't been anywhere since March the 9th of last year, by the way.
Well, welcome to the club. And I got news for you. The entire country is pretty much in the same boat.
And that's not, Matt, that's not true. You and I, when the end of the first wave, you and I made a special trip to visit some friends up in Collingwood, had a lovely dinner, solved all the problems of the world, and came home the next day.
Until the second wave.
I didn't say we solved anything, but of the second wave. We didn't solve the pandemic, but everything else we solved.
Right. No, you're actually, you know what? There's actually been two times since March 9th. I haven't flown since March 9th, which is, as we know in our industry, different than. Look at none of this really matters at the end of the day, given everything that everybody is faced with right now. But Collingwood went up there, and then because I'm a dual citizen, I'm able to drive across the border. And before the start of the Raptors regular season in the U.S. Thanksgiving, my oldest son, Jack, who's at a program in the U.S., I drove across to pick him up and bring him home as cases were rising and stuff. Yes. So, but anyway, that's it. And here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are, you know, on still, a Monday.
Still, and doing the same thing we've been doing for the last 14, 15 months, which is pretty much nothing. A nice win last night, but I am ready as a Raptor observer to wave the white flag and say, you know, it just doesn't look likely. And it may not even be possible for this team to get to the postseason. I'm quite certain you're not as negative as I am.
Well, I would say this, that when Wednesday, the Raptors are going to travel back to Tampa. Thursday, they have a game against Washington. And I think that that will be really the game, right? Mm-hmm. Second night of a back-to-back. Raptors team has always in the past been superb on the second night of back-to-back. That's not the case this year, right? This season, we've talked about it before. I understand the 2-8 start, given the disruption of finding a new place to play, getting it back on track, having the third best record over the course of the next 24, 25 games. And then, of course, as we know, the health and safety protocols and what they went through in March and winning just one game for a stretch where they had dropped 13 of 14. And now you end up in April where you have a winning record and things are starting to happen. But they've had a limited roster based upon health and safety protocols, based upon injuries. And then you have this new thing, you know, the play-in tournament, right? The one game play-in. Otherwise, as we know, that wouldn't even be a discussion because you'd be out of the mix, right? With the top eight. All that aside, last night, what Pascal and Kyle did, it kind of felt like the Raptors of old for a moment, even though Fred wasn't out there and Chris Boucher wasn't there and OG wasn't there. But boy, it kind of felt good. You're in the second largest market and it's LA, and I know Kyle said had nothing to do with his performance last night. You know, all the rumors swirling around trade deadline about potentially the Lakers being involved and they didn't want to give up Horton Tucker. And but that was a little bit of, yeah, you know what? I still got it. Good luck. Good luck, Lakers. That game last night. And I was mentioning this to Leo as we were, you know, talking after the game, having seen now a lot of teams out West and the top teams in the East, Lakers are disjointed big time. Like Frank Vogel was concerned prior to the start of the game during his media avail, where he was saying, I don't know if 9 games is enough time. Whew. They got a lot to figure out in a short period of time. And the number one thing is health,
right,
with LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Well, John and I were discussing this before you joined us. And I wonder whether, you know, given LeBron's experience, whether they're sleepwalking through this regular season, where victories really at this point don't matter very much. And I know they're trying to work on things. They're trying to get healthy. But do you think there's real concern in LA, or there should be?
I think that there is. I think if you go back to the beginning of this year, calendar year, Lakers were in first place. You know, Anthony Davis has only played 29 games, by the way. As we know,
part of my point,
it's part of his issue throughout his career, you know, the best availability, right? Is to be available, right? The best potential, the best of what you can be, right, is being there, game in and game out. The best ability, I should say, is availability. And then you look at LeBron James, and LeBron has been beyond durable in his career in his 18th season. And this is the first time in his extended period where he was out for 20 games, high ankle sprain. And even he admitted, he goes, I don't know, you know, if I'll ever be 100% healthy for the remainder of my career. So I do think that there's a level of concern, because then, just like as we know in hockey, when you break down that roster, they are top heavy in contracts. And so, you know, and then there's that drop off, and I'm not sure that beyond LeBron and beyond Anthony Davis, you know, when you look at the rest of the picture, I think that James and Davis have to be really good.
It's funny because I said to Bob, I said that, you know, without getting somebody like Kyle Lowry, I think they're missing the third leg of the stool.
I agree.
If you look at the history of good teams in this league, it's not two guys. It's always three.
Yeah. Well, but wait, who won last year?
Well, they won.
Well, you can't dismiss that and say the stool has to have three legs.
No, but you have to. But I will say this, that, you know, they were healthy, motivated, ready to go last year. And I think the health fact of LeBron and Anthony Davis is certainly key. I do think, to John's point, that having someone the caliber of, and remember, they had Dwight Howard last year. Sure. They had Danny Green last year.
Wasn't Rondo there too?
And you had Rajon Rondo there. You did have, you know, a more complete picture. And so I said this, last night when I was talking with Leo, and I've said it before also, is that, you know, there's going to be some teams that look back at this year and say, geez, maybe I should have went out and gotten. I'm glad that he did. You know, look, I love Kyle Lowry. He's the greatest Raptor of all time. I'd love to see him be able to continue on with the Raptors. But just looking at it from a pure basketball standpoint, there's going to be a couple of teams that are going to look back and say, if things don't work out, right? You always look back and say, okay, if it doesn't work out, they may go, maybe I should have done something.
When you look at the teams that were successful in the bubble last year, you know, the Lakers, Miami, Boston, they haven't had the greatest season. You have to wonder about the stress and strain and the wear and tear of the bubble on these teams playing another 72-game schedule so close, right?
Well, look, I think it's all a part of it. And Steve Kerr's talked about this. We've talked about it. What the Raptors have gone through in comparison to the rest of the league is, you know, the fact that they've had to pick up and move and all those sort of different things, and has been really amazing that they've been able to manage it as well as they have. And we know how March, you know, worked out. You know, Raptors last year, you get back to the bubble, that team was good enough to get to the Eastern Conference Finals for sure. And it's just unfortunate, you know, Pascal didn't play well in the bubble, and Marc Gasol didn't play well in the bubble. Pascal's, you know, it's been interesting because he's, you know, he's battling this year, and his numbers actually aren't bad, except for, I mean, they've been really good outside of 3-point shooting. Has been a little bit up and down, but, you know, some of it too is, you know, you're so, and Kyle's this sort of player, like when Kyle sat out and came back, he had a couple of down games, and now all of a sudden he's playing more, and he's, you know, he just has, you know, he's like an everyday guy, right? Mm-hmm. And Pascal has some of that too, right? You have that down period where, you know, the league is postponed games, and then you come back and trying to find it again. Took a little bit of time, but every night, you know, you think about the second night of a back-to-back, and Pascal was just in attack mode and was really outstanding. So, yeah, I think, look, at Boston, everybody's dealing with this ups and downs. I do think Brooklyn, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee right now are the top three teams in the East for sure. It's played out that way. I don't know if there's anybody, you know, Miami maybe can get something. You know, Boston's kind of, you know, they've been up and down. And out West, you know, watching Utah without, they need Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley for sure. Phoenix is really intriguing. The Raptors will see the Clippers for the first time tomorrow. It's the only team they haven't faced yet. They're still searching. They're, you know, they've been up and down. Lakers are searching. So the West is kind of intriguing, and everybody forgets about Denver, and they lost Jamal Murray, but right. Yet, you know, they are really good. So there's some potential intriguing first round matchups out West.
Well, we were discussing this as well. I don't know how you feel about the East, but the West really seems to have the power right now. And you're not convinced of that.
I'm not after watching the Lakers last night. And I think Utah's a really good team, but.
You think Phoenix is a mirage?
No, I don't think that they're a mirage. I think they're a good team too.
Phoenix doesn't have the
experience. The more that I've seen Brooklyn, I just, I'm not convinced of Milwaukee either. And maybe that, you know, we'll see how that plays out. I do like the PJ Tucker pickup in Philadelphia. I'll be interested to watch them, but Brooklyn, if they can figure out some of the things that they need to figure out defensively with the three players that they have, and remember, they don't have James Harden right now, so health is certainly important, you know, for them. You know, they're about as good as anybody out there. And from a depth perspective in the West, you know, I'm not sure that it's as much as everybody says, you know, but that changes this year. And I said this at the start of the year, be healthy by the time the playoffs start. And that health includes the COVID situation, right? And so Dennis Schroeder yesterday couldn't play for the Lakers because of health and safety protocols. So that becomes a factor, right? What happens once the playoffs begin? Does that become a factor again? Remember last year, bubble starts, that was not a factor at all. You know, coming in contact and contact tracing and all that, it didn't, you know, you were in the bubble and, you know, it was pure basketball from everybody that, you know, talked about it. The compete level was off the charts and, you know, you were in there, you were locked in, and this year will be different as fans are allowed back into, you know, the arena, and, you know, they still have, you know, the health and safety protocol aspect of it. So it'll be interesting to watch, but no, I'm not convinced of the depth of the West.
Well, I'll tell you what I question about Brooklyn. How many games have the big three played together this year?
Not many, seven. 5-2.
And you've got three unique characters who all can be the guy at any given moment, but have played virtually not at all together. And that chemistry, whatever that means, has not had an opportunity to develop. And yes, three individually talented guys, but how do they work together? How do they play together? And especially in key moments, who's the go-to guy?
Well, yeah, it's a great point. It's a great point.
You know, because on every team, you know that you've been around the game forever.
Yeah.
There's always a key guy, a guy you go to at that moment.
Yeah.
I think the most interesting thing about Brooklyn isn't a player. And maybe it's my Canadian bias, but I think Steve Nash has done a remarkable job there.
He has.
And you almost wonder that with all these, with Kyrie, with Harden, with Durant, this guy can look them in the eye and say, "Hey, I've been there. I've done that. And we're on the same level. You got to trust me." And how much that has been a strength of what he's been able to do. But what he's done is to be able to herd those cats to me is truly remarkable.
I'm going to get this number wrong because it's been growing on a daily basis and I have it written down over here in my notebook. But, you know, Raptors have used 31 different starting lineups. And I want to say Brooklyn right now is at 37. The record is actually 49. So that, to your point, right, they're winning with a lot of different pieces. Those pieces are really good that they do have. And then you add in the Blake Griffins, right, that signed there, and he's been rejuvenated by that. I think the biggest thing for them is going to be those three players, to your point, Bob, and coming together and saying, okay, hey, it's time, right? And we need to get going. I think that very much like the Raptors in 2019, something that it was interesting, Frank Vogel last night was concerned about when he talked to the media, was this whole concept of improving as those 2 months go along in the playoffs. And that was something that the Raptors did in 2019. Remember, they used 22 different starting lineups that season because of load management, and just, you know, they figured things out as the series went on and used different combinations of players, inclusive of going big against Philadelphia when Mark and Serge had played all the 30 minutes together during the regular season. They logged heavy minutes together in that series. So I think that the point of that is that I think that Brooklyn, given how Steve is Nash, and just listening to him talk, that this is a journey that they know that they're on. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the right approach. And the playoffs begin. And as this journey moves on, we're going to continue to figure things out, that things aren't going to be necessarily set in stone when the playoffs start. I think that Frank Vogel, by the sounds of it, he really wanted that for the Lakers, right? But that's just not going to happen. Certainly not in a year like this year, for sure.
I want to take a break. I want to focus on the Raptors and the future of Kyle Lowry when we continue. Matt Devlin is with us. We'll be back after these messages. McCowan, Shannon, Matt Devlin, the play-by-play voice of the Toronto Raptors with you on the program today. Kyle Lowry has a big night last night in Los Angeles. He's had some puzzling nights. He has been out intermittently for a good portion of this year. And at some point, you got to look forward to what you're going to do. Do you think Kyle Lowry stays with the Toronto Raptors? Do you think there is any chance that he is a Toronto Raptor when September, October rolls around?
I do think that there's a chance. But I think that, you know, we'll see how the summer unfolds. Let's see exactly what moves Masai and Bobby decide to make. I think that this is a team, despite the fact that they're under 500 right now, can jump back into the top three like that. I really do.
You do, huh?
I do.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Wow.
And I don't think it's
who's going to come out of nowhere to help that. Who's going to be?
Well, I think having again, it's you know the best ability is availability. I think having players available is key to that, and that would be Fred, Pascal, and OG. And I think OG is really improving steadily, and he's been, you know, sidelined with a calf injury that he's been managing. I'm a huge Fred Van Vliet believer. I just, he's, as Nick said, he's a natural born leader. And then you know, you talk about Pascal. I think Pascal, you know, despite this cloud that, you know, everybody kind of looks at, oh, geez, Pascal, the bubble. It's like, okay, we're kind of beyond that. And okay, he's having a down year. By the way, he's averaging over 20 points. He's averaging, you know, over 7 rebounds. He's averaging over 4.5 assists. He's like one of 7-8 players in the league that's doing that. Okay, there's just not many players that can do that. And, you know, I think having a more typical offseason is going to be beneficial, right? I mean, remember the postponement, the period of time between, you know, the postponement and the restart, and then the abbreviated offseason, even that from a protocol standpoint, and gyms being open or gyms being closed, right, and all the different sort of stuff. It's going to be in the U.S. at least this summer, guys are going to be able to get back into their normal routine. So I think that's beneficial, right? The Raptors will be able to get their players together as they've done so many times in Los Angeles and, you know, get stuff together. That's going to help a Malachi Flynn. That's going to help a Freddie Gillespie, and potentially a Ken Birch, who may be with the team. Gary Trent Jr. isn't healthy right now. Chris Boucher isn't healthy right now. When you think about those players and then a Kyle Lowry and then maybe something that Masai does in this offseason, could I see this team getting back into that top three? I'm not saying number one, but certainly in the top three, I can see that. And that's not being optimistic. That's just basing it on, okay, if they're healthy, if they're playing to their ability, even if Pascal's averaging 27.5, if OG's averaging 16.6 and shooting 40% from three, and if Fred is, you know, putting together his numbers and Kyle his numbers and Gary Trent Jr. continues to improve, and, you know, these, you know, Chris Boucher continues, I could totally see the Raptors being back there quicker than I think a lot of people think. That's certainly for sure.
Has Trent surprised you?
No, I've always liked his game. I think the big thing for him is, you know, where will he fit in? You know, as a starter, he was phenomenal. I mean, he's already career high, you know, game winning shot. I mean, all these different things. And then you get back into that role of coming off of the bench, right? Limited minutes and stuff. And he struggled a little bit with that after having a great run of 10 plus games as a starter for the Raptors, as the Raptors got more healthy. So, no, I loved that deal. I mean, I did, as sad as I was to see Norm go, getting two rotation players for one player, and then also partially guaranteed deal for Rodney Hood. And then the number, you know, that you'd be able to get Gary Trent Jr. for right around, right, you know, 2.1 million. With his size too. Cause I do think that, you know, the Raptors will have to address some of that, you know, from a size standpoint on the wing and in the middle, you know, here in the off season.
Well, look, the bench has been intermittently good and bad. They produced and haven't produced, and that's not really that uncommon.
But I will say this though, Bob, just sorry to interject, but you know, last night they put up 41 on the bench on the second night of a back-to-back. They were tremendous when you needed them to be.
Well, on the night before they did next to nothing.
Right. They're last in the league, the bench, in points per game, and have fluctuated in the bottom five pretty much throughout the course of the year. But part of that is Chris Boucher too, right? He's not there, right? So, you know, he has an MCL sprain. Gary Trent Jr. is not there, and you're asking more, right, of players. So
I give you that. I give you that. But again, you know, that's you can't discount the injuries to other players on other teams either. So it is what it is.
Yep.
at the end of this, a decision is going to have to be made as to whether this team is good enough. And now that you've won a championship, the bar has been raised. So it's not about making playoffs. It's not about getting to the third round. It's about, can you win a championship? So what does this team have to do in the offseason to get to the point where they can look in the mirror and say, we got a chance?
Well,
I'm not sure that the starting five that you have on the court right now has those ingredients. As much as you may love all the play individual performances, collectively, they aren't there.
Right. So, you know, there's a few different things there. I think one of which is when you take a look at it, you know, you say to yourself, okay, can you put yourself in position where you are one player away from getting back to where you've been before? And I think that the Raptors can find themselves in that situation. I do think that they can make one move and get that player and be back to where they were before. But you have to put yourself in position to do that. And I think that Masai Ujiri has always put that team in that position, right? We saw that with the Kawhi Leonard move. And so you have to have pieces in order to do that. You know, more than likely, you're going to end up with a lottery pick this year. What does that end up looking like? And so, you know, it's a team that, you know, I think, you know, you bring up a good point, Bob, when you look back over this time. This has been 7 years of unprecedented success. I mean, it's been the best 7 years in the Eastern Conference, to be honest with you. Only one other team, the Houston Rockets, have done what the Raptors have done as far as consecutive playoff appearances, but yet they never won an NBA title. The Raptors did. Then COVID hits, the bubble last year. Kawhi ends up obviously deciding to go to the Clippers. And you know, here we are today. But can you put your team in a position where you're one move away from getting back to that spot? I think that Masai will and can.
Is it as simple, though, and maybe I'm making it really, really basic. Is it as simple as saying, okay, how do we best spend Kyle Lowry's $30 million?
Well, there's a lot of money to be spent this summer. You know, I started writing down the free agent list. I mean, it'll be interesting to see. There's sign and trade possibilities as well. And then, of course, the summertime hits, as we know, playoffs change things. You know, do players want to move out of their current situation? So I think that that's all something that will be decided and be determined.
If I put a gun to your head, who's the favorite to win the NBA championship this year?
That's a good question.
It's not an easy answer.
Because there's not a clear-cut team. We kind of touched on it earlier. I mean, there's, you know, three teams in the East, and, you know, there's, you know, three teams in the West, maybe more. I could have told you the Lakers, and then I watched them last night, and I was just kind of unimpressed, you know. Yeah. But that's health-related, right? That's health-related. And the Clippers, we haven't seen yet. We'll see tomorrow. From a viewing standpoint, I mean, I've watched them this year. And, you know, Paul George and Kawhi haven't played a lot together, right? We know how Paul George is in the playoffs. Phoenix, I don't know. Utah, I don't know. There's question marks. Bob, I didn't give you the answer. Lean back on Brooklyn a little bit. And maybe that's right, wrong, or you know, there's some indifference to the whole thing, because I do think that this year there, because of everything that everybody's dealing with, there isn't one clear cut favorite. And I think you could say that in football, right?
Sure.
Look at what happened in football, baseball. I think we all kind of knew, right, that the Dodgers were the team, but yet, you know, the playoffs were kind of the playoffs, and we saw everything kind of unfold. And in hockey, you know, I think there's still, certainly in the North Division, everybody's waiting to see, okay, what happens when you get out of the North Division. So I think there's just, we're in a, very much like what we live with on a daily basis, we're in a lot of unknown.
You know, 2 years ago, Nick Nurse out-coached Budenholzer in Milwaukee. Oh, coached him badly.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of people that could suggested the same thing happened in the bubble last year. This guy's got a really good team.
Yeah. So
he doesn't. He has not adapted very well when it comes to playoffs.
No, he has not. He's very. I mean, I remember him saying last year in the bubble, like, you know, well, you know, I play my guys 35 minutes, and you know, that's what we do in the regular season, and it, you know, it works in the regular season. Well, the regular season and the playoffs are totally different. Totally different. And I think one of the greatest things, and I saw it unfold during the 2019, I mean, you always have these theories, you come on and you talk and you blab and you say, well, you know, blah, blah, you know, until you see it unfold over 2 months, doesn't matter the sport, but the construction of your roster, how versatile is it? Can you play big? Can you play small? Do you play heavy? Can you play skilled? You have to have all of that in order to make it through four rounds and ultimately, you know, hold a, you know, a trophy. Yeah. And the Raptors have that, and you have to adapt. And Budenholzer hasn't done that.
No,
he hasn't adjusted.
Well, and I mean, with the players he has, you'd think at some point he'd be smart enough to say, okay, listen, I got the horses, but now I got to get out of my book. I got to get out of my textbook of what I do on, you know, 37 minutes and I'm down by two. I got to get out of that. I got to start to feel the game, and I've got to believe. And I just don't see it. I just don't see it with them.
I agree. That is a shortcoming there. And I think that this is going to ultimately decide whether or not Bud stays in Milwaukee, right? Because you have the player returning, signs a big contract, and away you go. And hey, this is it. This is his time. Right. He's got, and they're all in on this roster. So he's got to produce.
Right.
Guys, we got to get out of here. Time is our enemy. We thank you, Matty D, as always. Look beautiful. And I'm glad you're not in Los Angeles and had to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to do this.
Oh, he's got the Clippers tomorrow. Travel safe, Matt.
Yeah. From my home office down to the arena.
There you go.
10 o'clock start time, Eastern time. Ball goes up in the air. Let's go.
Yeah, stay away.
Well, you didn't mention Chris Boucher enough for that chicken commercial you did. You got to mention him more. Holy smokes. You mentioned him 17 times in that.
Matty D, we'll be back to wrap it after these.
Crave Delicious. Crave Canadian.
Our thanks again to Matt Devlin for joining us. It's McCowan. It's Shannon. I promise we would mention the Toronto Blue Jays. We don't have a lot of time to do so. But at some point, we'll get into a more lengthy conversation. And the season is just beginning.
Morosi's coming on this week. We can talk baseball later.
Yeah, and but it is really interesting that the big free agent signing of the offseason made his first appearance this weekend. And it seemed to ignite the offense of this club. They just looked like a completely different baseball team, didn't you think?
I did. And the one thing that's that I've noticed, even that first night when he was the DH, and even when they were losing, there was a real level of, in checking the dugout, they were starting to have fun. And you can't discount, even professional athletes, the need to have fun. And Springer's rolling all this. And that's why Shapiro went and got him. He thinks that he can, his talent can rub off, his attitude can rub off. To me, that's the thing that probably impressed me more than anything. And we know that this team, when it clicks, can win games with the bat. And it maybe just happened a little later than we expected.
You know, we got a while yet to contemplate moves that this organization can do. And a lot of it will depend, I think, on where they are in the standings. They're in second now, and they're well within, shouting range of Boston, although the other three are right behind them. But do you go, what's your priority? Is it a third baseman? Is it a starting pitcher? And it's easy to say starting pitcher, John, because it's the need that every team has. Every team needs a starting pitcher at some point during the season. And every team is interested in trading for one. But most teams don't get that guy. They get a journeyman, a guy who can fill in, whatever. Would you go after a third baseman?
Well, let me ask you this question. If you can find a quality starting pitcher that can control where the ball goes, don't you take the pressure off your third baseman?
Of course you do that, but the problem becomes finding that guy.
Yeah.
And you're invariably in a competition for that player. If some team who's out of it has a good starting pitcher and they're interested in trading him, there's going to be plenty of suitors. And so the price for that, the value of that guy is going to go way up.
Yeah.
And so I wonder at some points whether you just bite the bullet and say, okay, we are what we are.
You go and get a third baseman. You're taking one of those bats out of the lineup, aren't you?
You're replacing that the bat of whoever has been playing third. It's a conversation that will continue and an argument that will ensue undoubtedly, but we don't have time to continue it. We'll bid everybody a fond adieu, and we'll see you tomorrow with a rather well-known guest.
Really?
So I hear.
Oh.
See you then. Goodbye, everybody.
Cheers.